I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading is from the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 26. But an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." And he rose and went. And behold, an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a minister of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this: "As a sheep led to the slaughter, or a lamb before its shearer is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken up from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "What about whom, pray, does this prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news of Jesus. And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What is to prevent my being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught up Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing on, he preached the gospel to all the towns till he came to Caesarea. May God add his blessing to the reading of the scripture.
Thank you, Glenn. In our scripture this morning, an angel of the Lord sent Philip down a desert road. Keep in mind, Philip had no idea why. He had no idea why he was sent down a desert road. He was just going. He was told to go, so he went. How many times in your life have you gone down a desert road without knowing the why of your journey? There are times in our lives that we go down desert roads after the death of a loved one, a divorce, or other difficult times. There are times when we feel all alone, sad, lost, yes, even abandoned. The desert has played a role in the lives of people since time began, and we can certainly find those times in the lives of the patriarchs and matriarchs in the Bible. That being said, let us look at the desert more fully and its role in the history of Christianity and in the lives of Christians. Paul of Thebes is often credited with being the first hermit monk to go to the desert, but it was Anthony the Great who launched the movement that became the Desert Fathers. Sometime around 270 AD, Anthony heard a Sunday sermon stating that perfection could be achieved by selling all of one's possessions, giving the proceeds to the poor, and following Christ. He followed the advice and made the further step of moving deep into the desert to seek complete solitude. Anthony lived in a time of transition for Christianity. The Diocletianic persecution in 303 AD was the last great formal persecution of Christians in the Roman Empire. Only 10 years later, Christianity was made legal in Egypt by Diocletian's successor, Constantine I. Anthony the Great emphasized the importance of living a simple life and consume nothing but bread, salt, and water, unlike what we'll have after this service. He took to living life in solitary, spending years alone in the desert, focusing on his prayers and devotion to God. He subsequently attracted many followers, and when members of the church began finding ways to work with the Roman state, the Desert Fathers saw that as a compromise between the things of God and the things of Caesar. The monastic communities were essentially an alternate Christian society. The hermits doubted that religion and politics could ever produce a truly Christian society. For them, the only Christian society was spiritual and not mundane. Those who left for the desert formed an alternate Christian society at a time when it was no longer a risk to be a Christian. The solitude, austerity, and sacrifice of the desert was seen by Anthony as an alternative to martyrdom, which was formerly seen by many Christians as the highest form of sacrifice. Now please think about this. Why would Saint Anthony, or anyone else for that matter, consider living in the desert like martyrdom? You know, dying for the faith. Sacrifice. Because for humans, loneliness is like death. Mother Teresa said, "We have drugs for people with diseases like leprosy, but these drugs do not treat the main problem, the disease of being lonely." That's what my sisters hope to provide. The sick and poor suffer even more from rejection than material want. Loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible poverty. The National Insurance Council reported that the loneliest groups of people in society are divorced people, children with autism, single mothers, college students, housewives, as well as the elderly. Have you ever felt the pain of loneliness? Have you ever felt alienated from your family, from your friends? You sit in the house or in your apartment or wherever, and you're alone. The phone isn't ringing. People aren't coming by. Max Licato tells this story. In the summer of 1980, a story about an attractive girl who was young and successful stirred the U.S. The story broke the evening news with the headline, "Judith Bucknell was dead." It was number 106 that year in the steamy city of Miami in the month of June. She was 38 years old and weighed 109 pounds. She was stabbed 7 times and also strangled. What struck the nation that steamy day was not just her murder, but her diary. She had kept a diary of her life, and the reporter started reporting what she had written in it, and it unveiled a pain epitaph to a lonely life. One writer made these comments about Judy, the character in her diary, which was actually her. "The character is struggling to find love, weary of all the broken promises of love. She has a voice which is yearning for love. The character Judy at 38 had many boyfriends over the 59 months that she wrote this diary." No, she wasn't a loose woman, but actually lived in a lavish place called Coconut Grove. She was a successful secretary, but a loser at real love, amazing love. She wrote, "Where are the men with flowers and music? I feel so old, so alone, unloved, unwanted, abandoned, and used up. I want to cry and sleep forever. I'm alone. I want to share something with somebody." Her diary was filled with loneliness and despair, yet a success at work. Respectable, wore designer clothes, had an apartment overlooking the bay. She was a jogger, successful in the eyes of the world, but really alone in her life. Very alone. Can you hear the cry of loneliness and pain in what she wrote? Our cities, all our cities are filled with people just like Judith Bucknell. I dare say even in our churches. Can you hear the cries? God did. He heard our cries. He experienced our loneliness and brokenness. Having said this, when we hear the cries of the lonely, the cries of those going down a desert road, what do we do? What do you do if you know someone is lonely? Call on Jesus to fix it? Pray that we don't have to get involved? Well, my friend, such is not the calling of a Christian. We are to get involved. We are to be involved as a family. During World War II, a church building in Strasbourg was destroyed. After the bombing, the members surveyed the area to see what damage was done. They were pleased that a statue of Christ with outstretched hands was still standing. It had been sculpted centuries before by a great artist. Taking a closer look, the people discovered both hands of Christ had been sheared off by a falling beam. Later, a sculptor in the town offered to replace the broken hands as a gift to the church. The church leaders met to consider the offer and decided not to accept it. One member of the church said the broken statues touched their spirit. It reminded them that Jesus has no hands but ours to minister to the lonely and the needy, or feed the hungry, or enrich the poor, except for ours. Jesus inspires, we perform. If Christ is to minister to the poor, it must be through our hands. If he is to take care of the sick and needy, it must be through our hands. If he is to reach out to those who are lonely, it must be through our hands. Philip had no idea what he was being called to do when he was told to go down that desert road. Yet on that desert road, he met a eunuch and changed the eunuch's life. So much so, the eunuch was baptized by Philip. Philip was Jesus' hands. The eunuch was lost and was unable to make sense of the scripture, experiencing his own desert. Remember these words of the eunuch when asked if he understood what he was reading? How can I unless someone guides me? How can I unless someone guides me? Interestingly, oftentimes we do not even have to go outside this building to help those lost in a desert. We all experience loneliness at some point in our lives, even in our own congregation. Research shows the more friendships a person has in a congregation, the less likely they are to become inactive and leave. Listen to this. A survey of 400 church dropouts were asked why they left their churches. Over 75% of the respondents said, I didn't feel anyone cared whether I was there or not. Can you imagine that? In their own congregation. These are shocking results, especially as the church should be one of the most caring places in the world. It should be a place you can walk in and everyone is going to walk up and say hi to you and be nice to you and welcoming. It should be. But how often do we take on the characteristics of the world outside and we see someone and we say, you know, I don't really care for them. Or, you know, I would go over, but I'm comfortable right where I am, and it's on the other side of the sanctuary. But in our society, the church has competition, and we need to be aware of that. We have competition, and it's probably not what you think. The neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit there is to the fellowship Christ wants to give his church. It's an imitation, dispensing alcohol instead of grace. Escape rather than reality. But it is permissive, accepting, and inclusive in its fellowship. It is unshockable. It is democratic. You can tell people secrets and they usually don't tell others or even want to. The bar flourishes not because most people are alcoholics, but because God has put into the human heart the desire to know and be known, to love and be loved. And so many seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers. Why, as Christians, would we send more people into that desert rather than bringing them out? Why would we not be more loving, accepting, and inclusive than a bar? Are we so closed-minded that we don't realize we are more like the Pharisees than Jesus? Shouldn't we be like Jesus? Are we so insensitive to the needs of others that we hold ourselves as being better than them? Hear our scripture again. But an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." And the Spirit said to Philip when he saw the eunuch, "Go up and join this chariot. Don't avoid. Don't run. Don't miss the chance. Go up and join." This is Christian Family Week. May we fully understand the call of our Lord to be a family. He calls us to be a family. And may we be His hands and reach out to those who are going down desert roads if we're not about fulfilling that ministry, if we're not about reaching out as Jesus did to lepers, to blind people, to people with all kinds of disabilities and infirmities, people who were poor, people who were just ignorant. Jesus reached out to all of them. Are we better than that? Do we read the scripture because it's fun to read, or do we read it because we want to learn? Christian Family Week is a good time to sit down with your Bible, read the story of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and learn about love. Because folks, you may not believe this, but even in some of our families, there's loneliness. It's not that there aren't family members. They're there somewhere. But there are family members who are hurting from loneliness. Let us pray. Lord, as we come together this day to partake of this meal that were made by the hands of families in this church, we ask your blessings upon the food. We ask that you take it to the nourishment of our bodies, that we may truly do your work and your will. May we see not only our immediate family as family, but our extended family within the church, and indeed throughout the world. For we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.